And we are back.
Yeah. Everyone? Pow, 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 pow. Oh, that's right. That's
it
right.
Bam, bam, bam,
bam. My bad. I forgot. Put you on the spot.
That was the platform.
Yes. Welcome back, y'all. This is...
Okay. Look, so sorry. Didn't mean to
still
say
assholes.
You're an asshole. Look,
sure assholes.
Not for this,
but for other reasons. this is another episode of Afro Movie Review, the podcast. The voice you're hearing is Mo, she, her pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, the chocolate chip podcaster.
And I am Peek, they, them pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, your favorite trans podcaster. Welcome back, you guys, for episode 64.
Yes, season 6 is the A24 season, and the movie of this episode is Rome, so the year is 2015. I think, Keeks, you started History Reel last time?
I think so.
Okay,
so I'll start this time?
Yeah. So June 14th, 2015, Jurassic World becomes the first film to make $500 million worldwide in its opening weekend. And I don't know if it's that y'all like Chris Pratt like that, or if it's the dinosaur aspect.
I think it's the dinosaur and the whole franchise, because you got like the supporters from Jurassic Park coming to go see Jurassic World, because Chris Pratt is not all that paid.
Because Chris Pratt is the same person that he's been since Parks and Recs. So I can't, like, he has not, Chris Pratt is the luckiest actor in the game because he has not had to challenge himself. He is not having to... He's just himself. He's the same nigga.
He's a white boy in Hollywood, so...
And see, I don't know him as a person. I think if this is the same person, the one who... I think he had a baby with the girl from... Not Scary Movie, whatever. Like, that Selma Blake. Selma something. I think he had a baby with her, and they have a special needs kid. And when he had a child with his current partner, he was like, I'm just so grateful that she gave me a healthy child. Like, it was, if that's him.
Was that him?
I think that was him.
Let me see.
So, it can't be Chris Pratt. It has to be the dinosaur. It has to
be. It has to be.
I'm not going to give that to you guys. He's not that interesting.
I don't know. We might bring that up in one of our intermission scenes. Look. Scandalous. So, okay.
What's your first one?
My first one is January 25th. A new species of owl is discovered. It is the desert tawny owl. Funny though, they misclassified it for a century, and then they were like, "Actually, you're not that species. You're this species." So, yeah, but it breeds in Palestine, Northeast Egypt, Jordan, and the Arabian Peninsula. And I was like, that is so cute the way humans will be like, and like categorize things and be like, oh, actually, we were wrong. Let's categorize it this way. I find humans to be so interesting like that.
Arrogant.
And to a point, but I feel like it's more of like a, I need to know how to group things
kind of thing. Know how to feel about it, where to place it.
That, so. And
I think it's a real thing.
And the way my neurodivergency is like, yes,
I need it. I can work real well. You know what I mean? I do. May 31st, 2015, Harriet Thompson, aged 92 and 65 days, 92 years, 65 days, becomes the oldest woman to complete a marathon. This is at the Suja Rock and Roll Marathon in San Diego. I brought that up because my mom used to work for the Rock and Roll Marathon in San Diego.
Oh, the way I would at 92 sit my ass down. I just
92 and 65 days. You know, maybe at 92 and 3 days, I might run a marathon. But 65 days into my 92nd birthday, I'm
you did that, like, sis.
I don't have any energy for that.
Did that, sis.
Shout out to Miss Harrietta Thompson, because that's some gangster shit. I don't even know if at 92 I would be interested in signing up for the marathon. I would probably look at it and be like, I don't even want to watch this on TV at 92.
I mean, I figure at like 92, you're like, oh, what haven't I done? A marathon.
That it's got to be something like that, right? It's got to be like, and luckily for me, I've done a marathon, so I ain't got to do that shit in my old age. Bless.
I haven't, and I don't want to. Bless.
Okay, so all right.
Boundaries.
I don't want to, and you won't make me want to.
It looks so interesting, but also no. Bless. There are so many other ways. I can test my fitness. Don't have to be a bear.
Doesn't have to be that way.
Okay. My name is July 1st. Greek government becomes the first advanced economy to miss a payment to the International Monetary Fund in the 71 history of the IMF. I was like, what's
that? The big ass IMF? Look.
It is a major financial agency of the UN with headquarters in Washington, D.C. They are in charge of exchange rate stability, and they are a global lender of last resorts to national governments. So apparently, it's through a quota system, but each country got to contribute to the fund, and then they can borrow against it if they experience like some kind of financial problem. As of 2016, there was $667 billion in that
bank. The fund?
In that fund, 2016.
So why were they okay? So as of 2023, I wonder what it has in it. Because why is anybody giving money except for that big money having bitch?
Well, because it's interesting because they was like the countries that subscribe to this, they get access to like economic policies of all the other members, and they can help influence their economic policies. They can have technical. Look, I was like, what are we doing? And guess who has the major voting power?
America's.
Of course. It's 16.5%. Guess who's next?
Europe.
Japan. Oh. At 6.14%. Look, I said, what is this disparity?
What the hell?
I don't like this. I don't know. No, this is real.
I don't know about this one. I don't know if I want to get information. What the fuck is going on here?
Huh?
I said, what the fuck is going on? That's crazy.
Right? Because how are you, as long as you contribute to the fund, you can sit there and influence other folks' economic policies? That doesn't make sense to me. Like,
that's fucking wild. I'm sorry. I'm ending lighter.
I am not, so yay.
Okay, so May 22nd, Ireland becomes the first country in the world to legalize same-sex marriage by popular vote. Shout out to Ireland. We really figured out what was going on when the queen died.
When Lizzie was in a box.
When Lizzie went and touched the foot of the devil. Boy, I tell you, Ireland turned the fuck up.
I appreciated it.
Additionally, June 26th, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled it 5-4 and legalized same-sex marriage across all U.S. states. But they weren't even the first. They just was like, trying to catch up.
That's all it was.
Mm-hmm.
You could have been first, bitch.
You could have been first. And Bobby said it, if you ain't first, you're last.
Speak on it.
God damn it.
Oh.
So you might as well, you know what I'm saying? Set the precedent.
First in everything. We're number one in what?
In what? Let's really talk about it. Oh my god. Okay.
Oh. So my last fact is dark. So October 3rd, a US airstrike attacked the Kunduz Trauma Center, and I probably pronounced that wrong. I did not find the right pronunciation.
Talk about Obama?
Yes, operated by Doctors Without Borders, kills 42 people and injured 30. I remember that shit. And at first they was like, oh, we were just defending our U.S. forces on the ground. Then they was like, actually, this was requested by the Afghan forces who has come under Taliban fire It wasn't until the U.S. commander who was stationed in Afghanistan, Campbell, finally said, actually, this was a U.S. decision and it was a mistake. And they threw his ass under the bus because he was like, we never intentionally target a protected medical facility. October 7th, President Obama makes an apology and makes a $6,000 payment to the families killed. And typically, hospitals in war zones are protected under the Fourth Geneva Convention, but the former International Criminal Tribunal prosecutor said that the case is unlikely to be tried in the international court because the U.S. wouldn't want to hand over its service members to an outside body of prosecution even after it faces its own military legal system. So, but $6,000...
And I feel like maybe you've given this fact before. Or maybe, I don't know. I don't know.
I actively remember this going on because I was like, 6K for all those folks you killed? Like, bitch, that ain't nothing. In 2015?
And I was like, Doctors Without Borders. These was doctors and then patients that you killed.
Look, I remember that day and I was like, oh my gosh, yes.
Crazy.
So yeah, that was our history reel. Applause.
Okay.
We get it. We get it. We're amazing. Anyway.
We are. Okay. Well, so the plug for this episode and for every episode of this season is All Power and Solidarity to the People. That leads us into what our lenses look like. Keeks, what do your lenses look like for this season?
Lenses are a green triangle, a yellow nose bridge, and then a red triangle with the empowerment resistance fist hanging from the legs in solidarity with the silent genocide happening in Congo. What is your lenses like?
My lenses are, the lenses are actually iridescent sliced watermelon disco ball-y type looking, and that is for both Palestine and Sudan, whose flags look very similar to each other. And then my left leg is a blue and yellow leg for the Congo, and it's a green and yellow leg on the right for Tigray. So,
okay.
Again, solidarity to the people, freedoms to all oppressed peoples, and yeah, may this whole shit be done quicker than quick.
We ain't free to everybody free.
That's it. Okay, so let's hop into the review. Again, the movie of the episode is Rome 2015. We can give you a little background on it. Of course, this is an A24 distributed film, but production is actually done by Film Nation Entertainment, Telefilm Canada, and Film 4.
Yeah, it's a Canadian movie.
It's a Canadian, and it's actually, the screenplay is by Emma Donahue, who wrote this. She was, it's a 2010 novel, and I think she's Irish. Oh my God.
I think she was.
Yeah, so what was your, did we do categories first or rankings first?
Let's do categories first and then ranking.
Okay, so my categories, I had why, oh my God, like with all caps.
<'Cause> what?
then I had dog, like very just like, you know, shockingly. I have, small joys, girl kill him with a question mark.
Girl,
go with multiple exclamation marks. What are your categories?
So my categories is jail immediately.
Straight to jail.
Look, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. I was so, I was like, that child has unmet needs. And that was to me, because I was like, there were moments and I had to catch myself. Mm-hmm. So I had, girl, what the fuck? And that's mom and that's
multiple girl. Things.
And then I had suspense, exclamation point.
You were hilarious. So fucking funny.
Oh my God, what was your rating for this movie?
I gave this an 8 out of 10.
I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Okay, yeah. So IMDb gave it an 8.1 out of 10, and Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 93%. I do not think that we will be far off. What were your feelings about the movie before I give AMR's combo?
So, I like the whole, like, mother-son bond and like them, you know, persevering and getting out of danger together. And the whole seeing the world through a child's eyes. But like, bitch, you could do that in the, I don't know, a divorce. Like, I just, you, it had to be like kidnapping and that is your rapist child. It was just so fucking much, sis.
Like, I was so, like, when I was actively like, what the fuck is going on? Then I was like, okay, this keep, like, initially I was like, keeping this child entertained in this small ass room has got to be a whole fucking lot. But I realized that's what she had, right? Like,
right.
Was her, but when she explained how she got kidnapped and like that kind of stuff, I was like, damn. And the fact that she had been there 7 years, I said, nigga, what the fuck? But
because I would, ooh, and I had to catch myself because as soon as that boy started yelling, I said, who are you yelling at? And I was like, okay, he is in this room. This is all he's known for all his life.
I was triggered the whole time by the fact that he did not have any room. Like, and the way that he was describing it with room and wardrobe and skylight, like everything was not the this, it just was. And when she was busting his bubble and like telling him, I was like, why the fuck are you doing this? And then it started to make sense. I'm glad that they got out of it, but when that doctor asked her if she wanted to do what he said, they didn't even have to say what the recommended treatment was. I knew that they were trying to reintroduce them into society in some type of halfway or like medical facility type home. When when she said no, when she just wanted to go home, I was like, ooh, this gonna be bad. And I was scared from that point on.
And I think, because I did not realize at that time that, first off, that child was not six. You cannot tell me that child was at least, I don't know, I don't have children, but I know an 8-year-old child when I fucking see it. You, he could have been 7 going on 8.
Because he was not mom. Nothing to do all day except sit and talk. Maybe the development of the child is a little bit more. It seems like even in that very confined space, she was still very cognizant of how much of, too much of one thing would be bad for the child. So again, didn't have too much TV. She was trying to have vitamins and things like that. She got kidnapped at 17, so she's doing the best that she can. But in my
mind, I know it was at 17. Okay.
Yeah, she said she got kidnapped at 17 and she had been there for 7 years. So the guy kept her for a year and a half before getting her pregnant, or like a year before getting her, like this, the traumatic behind that. But in the 5-year-old aspect, I was like, he's very advanced for a 5-year-old because he kept saying he's 5. And I think part of it was the fact that they only had each other. She was talking to him like he was fucking 13 or 14 and could understand some of the things she was saying in her emotional let goes.
So I didn't note that. I was like, okay, does a 5-year-old have this kind of vocabulary? But it was more so his appearance, because the way they tried to like have him all skinny and like just in his drawers and like a shirt, I was like, this doesn't, even if he was malnourished, this does not look like a 5-year-old. Like, you cannot pass this kid off as a 5-year-old. It pissed me off. You're breaking the illusion. Don't break the illusion.
And the paid by Jacob Tremblay.
Yes.
He was born in the year
2006.
So he was 9.
Okay. Which, you could have did a 7 going on 8. And I would have, but then she would have had to be like, yeah, they would have had to age everybody else.
They would have saved everybody else. And I think for the fact that this was written by a book, they don't think about if you're just writing the book, like, I guess the ultimate goal could be to have your book turn into a movie. But you're just writing the book. And the reality of a 5-year-old playing this, like, we're not doing those 60s, 70s poltergeist shit no more. We're not traumatizing children. You needed a child who was a little bit older to be able to talk to them about what was going on. And mind you, this kid is now 17. This is the little motherfucker that did, he voiced Flounder in The Little Mermaid for 2023.
Oh.
Mans is still working. Like, you know, I realized that for me, like, they were like, oh, Brie Larson won so much for her portrayal in this. She did the fuck out of her role. The kid was the most captivating for me, and it's probably because the screenplay and the book is based through the child's point of view. But Jacob Tremblay acted the shit out of that little role. I love
Brie Larson was pretty good too. The way, I was so scared for her. I was every like step of the way when she denied the doctor assistance and she was like, oh, I just want to go home. She did not have the ability, because she was not reassuring this child even in the slightest, like, or explaining things to him. And it was so frustrating. But then I have to remember, she was kidnapped as a teenager. She doesn't know these things. And I'm just like, well, if you had this whole experience, can you imagine him just like being born in this room, having nothing else?
And like when he eventually was like he wanted to go back because that was all he knew and the world was so big for him. And yes. The fact, like you said, Bree, okay, so Mom/Joy, she's trying to reacclimate because she has known this world, right? So she wants to get back to it. And once she got back to it, she expected to have this freedom. She completely forgot. Not like forgot, but there were moments where you could tell that she had absolved herself of the obligation of being a mom.
Yes.
Even though that was her, like being a mother was her survival.
I caught that too, which was, and that was a confliction within her, because even with the whole interview, which that bitch, I wanted to punch her in the fucking face. How dare you say, oh, should I have given up my child to be adopted when my child is the whole reason that I got out, that we got out.
I was upset with you and I felt like what they were doing, but I also was like, ooh, she's asking the questions because she had not considered it. But as soon as she asked her that, that was when the suicide attempt happened.
And that's my thing, because like, why? My thing is, she was so precarious. This is like such she just got out. She is very...
She's fresh. Sensitive.
She's delicate. Yeah. And I'm just like, why didn't y'all not? I get it. You want to make money. You want to make sure, you know, awareness is spread. Why didn't nobody screen these questions? Like, and why are you asking about Jack's father when you know that that's my rapist? Like,
girl! And talking about him as though he is a dad. So, like, part of me was kind of fucked up because initially I was like, is this nigga coming every day? Is this motherfucker at your door and unlocking this every day, right? So that's when I was like, girl, kill him. But then when she told the Jack that she couldn't because they don't know the code, and then what would happen? Okay. When he came back with the little truck and they were screaming, that's how you know it is super soundproofed. There is no escaping this. If he dies, there's no one to come and check on this.
Right.
But when the plan was working and he went to go take the carpet out with Jack in it, I was like, why doesn't she just jump on it and like run out right then? Because he's going to have to drop the carpet to chase her. And they could still, there's another way that this plan could work, right? I'm glad that it worked out for them. But once they got to escaping and the steps towards what she thought was going to be freedom, and she reflected with herself that she thought she would feel differently, I was just conflicted because there was... She seemed highly intelligent, but maybe because of, and it's not maybe, because of the kidnapping, she was kind of stuck in time. And because of the trauma of what had happened to her during the kidnapping, she was in survival mode, right?
Right.
So she wants to get out of her parents' house because it's not as comfortable as she thought. All she thought about was like the good things when she was kidnapped. Now she's there and things are different and it's difficult. So she wants to leave. So she accepts the lawyer's request for them to start doing interviews, because he says, like, from this point on, we're going to have to charge and it's going to get costly, and at least one TV interview would put a little, a couple dollars and pay for us too. So she's still in survival mode, and because she wants to leave and survive with her kid, I think she did that wanting to get the money in her pocket. But this movie put for me in perspective how it is, because, you know, I love a good Dateline 2020. I love it. So, like, to see how it's recorded and see how it's set up, and how, even if it is a version of fiction, whatever, why does the lawyer not screen these questions? Why are you are just trying to get people to cry on screen? Her mama is crumpled in the corner crying. Her kid is watching, like, hearing these questions asked. And because he is such a developed 5-year-old, he understands what you're asking him and what. You know, his mind is working with that too. Well, she could have let me go. I could have been someplace else. My life could have been different. What would life have been without Mom?
But even, I like how he's like, oh, well, even when he was there, that...
Flipping something?
Oh, sorry. I like how even when he was like, even after a suicide attempt, he was like, well, I need Mom. Because mind you, Mom is all he's known for 7 years, 5 years, however the fuck old he is. But look, but I also think the whole psychological aspect of it, because she was upset that people moved on without her. And I think that was a lot of it too. She was like, while I was sitting there being tortured for 7 years, you moved on with your life. You divorced my dad. You got in with Leo, all of this. And I get it. I really do. But also, it's unrealistic.
And also, to an extent, she was saying that they had moved on, but obviously life had crumpled without her there, because she was explaining to Jack that her mom and dad lived together and they had a hammock in the back, and this was a family when she had left. Her family, this is a split up family. So you're leaving, not to say that her leaving caused it, but a lot of...
I'm sure it was a lot of tension between the things. Yeah. Like, oh, because even she blames her mother, was like, maybe if you didn't teach me how to be so nice, I wouldn't have gone with the dude. Like, it's a lot of tension there. So, like.
But also, girl, you're fucking 17 when someone asks you to help them with a lost fucking puppy. Are you kidding me? Because this is past the smart, Elizabeth Smart and all of this shit. We've seen people being kidnapped, right? So, like, if you're not watching TV, if you're not cognizant of, even if you're not watching it on television, they used to come to the elementary schools. And because I went to very predominantly white elementary schools, I know that they were going to predominantly white elementary schools and saying, hey, don't take candy from strangers. If a van, like, they were telling you things. They were preparing you. They had DARE programs and all kinds of shit. Now, maybe because of when this was, the funding for schooling has changed and they don't have it the same way. But a 17-year-old should not be, she's not, and not to be ableist, but she seemed fully functioning, fully of all capabilities. She had full, this character did not present in a way that she would have been delayed in knowing how, not that there's not people who don't get, I don't want to say it like that, but the way that this character presented, she acted as if she was completely naive until she was kidnapped. And maybe that's the blessing of being a white child in that type of suburb of America, because I don't know where the fuck this was recorded, like where this was supposed to be set, but like 17.
So I kind of give her some grace though, because of the time setting I had put it in. I was like, y'all just got cell phones. It's like, this was maybe, in my mind, I was like, oh, this is 80s, early 90s, maybe.
No.
In my mind, I was like, because they had landlines. Who the fuck got landlines anymore? Like, so I was like, oh, okay, this is earlier.
I get what you're coming from, but this is the thing. Right. Her parents kept the landline because she knows the phone number. So it's not that this is set in the back times, because as soon as they got back home, they had little cell phones. He was able to watch streaming services on the cell phone. So this is more present time.
Okay.
So this isn't like the 80s. You know what I mean? So the grace that you've given her, take it the fuck away. Bring it fast
forward. I'm done.
Because they kept that landline and kept some of the things the same, because she was, that's if she gets away somehow and manages to get to a phone and the only phone number that she knows is disconnected. What do you do then?
Right.
So again, this is presented as a character who just had the freedom of being careless and, you know what I'm saying, nonchalant, and was able to be like, a fucking sick puppy? Is there a dog park anywhere around you, my sweet girl? No? Like, she was able to be completely free of any responsibilities other than being young, white, and on the track team until she was kidnapped.
I mean, maybe that's what her appeal was too, because I mean, that even when she told Jack to, she was like, tell them your mom is Joy Newsom. Like, she knew people were still looking for her because of that appeal of like, okay, oh, I'm this innocent white woman, white girl who got kidnapped at 17, and I know people are going to be looking for me.
And when she was in the high school pictures, her hair had a little bit more blonde to it because the sun lightens your hair, well, she's not getting much sun in this space. So her face, all of her features are darker, right? When she pulled out that picture and showed Jack, like, oh, these are the girls that I ran with when they got free or whatever. And we were the relay team and I was the anchor. Maybe he knows what some of these things mean. He's catching on to things very fast or whatever. But she says, do you know what happened to them? And he says, no, what, nothing. And she's like, exactly. Nothing happened to them. They got to live their lives. If you looked at that picture, it was like two brunettes and like a light-skinned black girl. So the only blonde of the group
was her.
She has this, my life, who knows why you were picked. other than maybe you were being watched. Maybe you were the most flitty and carefree. And when I tell you, this judgment comes from a person whose parents literally were like, girl, do not drink the Kool-Aid. And if you are old enough, that reference hits you in a certain way, because my parents were telling me that I was dumb and flitty enough to end up in a cult. Jamestown would have been me. That's what they were telling me.
Your parents are so fucking me.
The I fuck? Told you people was horrible.
Bruh. But don't tell your child that.
Like, but they were letting me know that I am one of those people that just, you know, I take things at face value, and maybe I need to ask more questions, and I need to be more, you know, don't, you need to ask. They were letting me know that I needed to be more aware of my surroundings, because I was not always aware of my surroundings. They let me know very early. You know what
that's
I mean?
Fair.
If you see that your child is that kind of thing, that's why she blamed her mom. If you see me as this type of person, why aren't you preparing me better? You have a job as my parent. It's not just
to prepare you for the world. Yeah.
You have to prepare me for the world. And unfortunately, there's some ugly parts of the world, and old Nick is one of them.
I feel like it's a lot with people don't think things are going to happen to them until it actually happens. They think that they're invincible.
The hubris
is right. It's like you have to face your, people don't face their mortality a lot. They think they're immortal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, she just didn't think it'll ever happen to her. Why would it happen to her?
And she didn't have any reason to. And literally, she was kidnapped. And when they finally zoomed out on where she was being held, she's in a residential neighborhood. That is terrifying.
That.
The soundproofing, the work that old Nick did. And old Nick is Sean Briggers. Sean Briggers has played Bridgers?
I didn't even put him down. I was so mad at him the way he played this character. I said, fuck
he
you.
He has played antagonists very well. Works. The man works, right?
I like
he's always kind of creepy. Like, yeah. That's all I have about him. I just wanted his name. But, like, the work that old Nick put into having that set up to be able to kidnap someone, to be able to house them that way.
Yes.
Terrifying.
Very much.
This is middle your backyard America.
Which now it makes me wonder, like, for folks who have a shed, is it only tools in there? Please let there only be tools in there.
It's like, I want to be able to mind my business and you mind yours, but also if you are constantly running electricity to this shed all year long, should I be worried?
I mean, he was barely doing that. They woke up, the power was out. Shit.
That's because he was punishing them for bucking up at him. He needed to make sure that he could maintain power, because he brings them food and he reminds them and, you know, whatever. And then when the only reason she even bucked is because Jack came out, he was inquisitive. He wanted to see about that candy, is what I'm assuming. And old boy woke up, and when she heard them talking, she said, don't you fucking touch that boy, because he is her captor.
And that is her son.
And that's her son. So,
yeah.
I think that the power being cut off was absolutely to, like, flex his power, to be like, remember
who I run shit. Look. It's just the trauma this child has been through. Like, not only was your formative years, like, the developmental language and all of that was spent with only one person. I mean, he had TV, so I'll give you a little bit of a pass there. You can get a lot of information from TV. Because there was Gore playing
in a very specific way for him not to want things that she couldn't provide outside of that space. So even his formative years and, like, the information he got, a lot of it was lies and twisty and turny, and, like, psychologically post that Jack would have to, he would, it, like, the unlearning to relearn to be able to the integration to society is going to be a lot for both of them, but I think harder to crack.
And then, like, you get out and the only other person that you've known for all this time, you find them in the bathroom floor, like, dying. Like, what the fuck?
But you know what? Jack could feel it's because of their connection and how they were. He could not sleep. He was tossing and turning. He looked over. She wasn't there. And he went to find her. Right. And that was wild. I think that, so William H. Macy plays Grandpa Robert. That's her dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he does not want to look at her. He doesn't say very much in the movie, and I'm very convinced that a good amount of the budget went towards just having some of these bigger names, because he didn't say much.
But at all.
I didn't understand that. I don't know if it was shame. I don't know what it was. Like, if he, why? But he wouldn't look specifically at Jack.
I thought it was because he knew that that was her rapist captor, baby. Like, and I was just like,
and he didn't want to, like, see the.
But that baby looked like her, though. Like, no lie, that baby. But I could see how he can pick out the parts of those, like, oh, that's not my daughter.
Or even, like, so, if you had, like, infantized and, like, virginalized your daughter before, like, especially her being gone for 7 years. Like, my 17-year-old perfect baby daughter, and she comes back with a whole fucking kid as a parent that you don't know. It was probably traumatizing, but the fucking goats in both, like, there are two of them. There are two heroes in this story. Leo.
Yes.
And what's her name?
Nancy?
Officer Parker.
Officer Parker did the fucking thing because that white officer got on my fucking nerves. Huh? So, should we just call CPS? Shut the fuck up and let me work.
Oh my God. She was doing the thing. She needs a raise. She needs to be lead detective, head detective. She is solving the cases, baby. She figured out where that baby
loved it. And I loved her. And she really should have had more screen time. But also, can we talk about the only other black person being the Captain Save-A-Ho? Like, can
you
we
know
not
what it
be
is?
A magical Negro?
It's always going to be a black woman saving the world. So we have that hero. And then if it's not that, if it's some type of psychological something, it's typically going to be a black woman doctor. In this case, we had Dr. Mattel. It's a black, it's an Indian, a dark-skinned Indian doctor.
Yeah.
Y'all not slick. You're not low. We see you, but we appreciate that you know where we fit in, because you absolutely have to know that in certain roles and in certain professions, people of color are dominating because we can't slack, right? So yeah, you're going to have some very lead positions as far as doctors and things like that, but putting it, it's not, I don't know the actual demographics or like the numbers of the field, but you could have a white doctor too.
Well, I feel like because it would not have been as impactful if they made Joy any other race. So maybe to balance out and be like, okay, well, this is a story about this little white girl that got kidnapped who has
not
a white.
Not making Joy black, because this is from an Irish-Canadian writer.
But like balancing it out. So maybe it was like too many, we already got too many white people. We got Joy, her white-ass son, her white-ass captor, her white-ass family. Let's bring in some people of color so they don't be like, well,
but
you're racist.
They could have had a white woman doctor just and had an older woman. You know what I mean? Like, not every hero.
I would
be like, on the
not enough black
people. Where is it that you don't have no fucking black people? Like, where are you? Where are you? Fucking Vermont. Where are you? But like, I would have complained either way. I just think it's funny that that Holly Weird and tends to depict people of color as medical still. And we've talked about this on previous episodes. We're always in medical or service positions still.
Yeah.
Still. Mm-hmm. Even if we are playing the hero. So shout out to the actress who played her. Officer Parker is played by Amanda Bruegel.
Yes.
Awesomeness. And Tim McCamus? Tim McCamus plays Leo. They were awesome. It was the way that Leo engaged, because Jack only knows one version of male.
Yeah, and that was not a good version. Well, he barely had contact with him, but he did see you choke out his mama, so.
He knows he's been angry.
Yeah, so to have Leo, and then, because that was not stepping up, Robert wasn't fucking stepping up, bitch ass, but like to have Leo there and to like engage with him, which I think he was the only one to engage with him that I found like appropriate. Look, that I found was like appropriate. The like, I get Joy, but like she was very much a child raising a child.
And I think that Leo was able to engage with him like that is because he's the only person who came into that family dynamic and did not know Joy. He knew Joy as a figment. He knew Joy as the kidnapped child. He didn't meet her beforehand.
I thought she knew him from like...
Oh, that's right. He was a childhood friend.
Yeah, so
oh, shit.
He But he didn't know. But then also it's that aspect of like, oh, I'm here to support, because they're together. Joy and Nancy. Leo and Nancy are together. So maybe it's like, I'm here to support you during this time with your daughter. And I see that your ex-husband ain't shit. But let me get some of this shit off of your plate. So let me also engage with your grandchild. And
well, they are together. And I think that in the hopes like that Joy would ever come back, then he still would have been, you know, it's probably something they had pillow talk about often. And it's probably one of the things that ended Nancy and Robert's relationship is her having hope and him seeming like he gave up hope.
He was very standoffish. And honestly, if I was to just go by the small part that he had in it, it was probably his fault for the divorce. Like, again, speculation, but like, he seems very avoidant. So, and does not communicate well. So,
I don't know about that. I really don't. I think that, like, let's say we were to give them a backstory. I could see him being at fault for the divorce because of his lack of faith that she would be found and like a mother's love, just because I've seen in reference to other like stories like that. Or even how they'll show stories of how like when a child dies, how a lot of couples don't survive that and they will end up divorced because there's a blame or a guilt that or like, whatever, like this change in dynamic in the relationship. And I can imagine that having a child kidnapped is almost the equivalent of having that child die and then come back. Right. So you have to mourn them. And like, if your partner never let go of them and was holding on, it's like they held on to a ghost and you had to convince them that they were holding on to a ghost and you couldn't. So you separate whoever's at fault. And then the ghost comes back and they're like, aha. So it's like that pressure. I tried to see it from that. But then my mind said, maybe because this is an independent film, maybe because the budget was $13 million, William H. Macy said, I will take part in this film for $5 million.
That's fair. And he was like, give me very little lines. And
I'm not doing much. But because William H. Macy is an actor, I hate that him, like, because he's married to Felicity Huffman and they've had their drama recently. I hate. But William H. Macy is an actor. And so when it comes down to it, even with it only being, let's say he had, you know, my favorite arbitrary number to throw out is 17. Let's say that fool has 17 lines. He played the fuck out. He gave it. Oh. Facial expressions and body speaking. $5 million. He earned his little check in. Wow.
Oh my god. This was I like the whole, because we get a lot of kidnapping. I'm sure this is not the first kidnapping movie, but we don't get the psychological effects of it and how that affects the family. So I do appreciate the perspective of this movie and the way that they did that, because I thought, oh, you get free, this movie was about to end. No. And I appreciate it.
It still had so much movie.
I was like, what are we talking about now? But no.
I pushed pause and family. Was like, we have 33 minutes left. Wow.
We had to see the family dynamics. And honestly, I appreciate that because, I mean, news stories are sensational. And like, yes, bad things happen to people. You don't get to see that fallout, though. You can be like, oh, okay. They got the home safe.
The sensationalization goes down. You forget about them.
And then they're still struggling. And it's just another day. It's just, it was so, it
was great.
So much. It was nice.
And the audience agreed. $13 million for the budget, $36.3 million revenue. And I do believe this is just for the American distribution. A24 did that. They distributed, they started off in Telluride, which every time I see that, I'd be like, bruh, this is how you know I don't know shit. Because I think of Telluride as that car.
Yeah. Is that, what is that?
It's a city.
Is it not? Oh.
No. What are the ticks for your categories?
Jail immediately had 10. That child has unmet needs had 22. I had to keep reminding myself because he kept yelling. Oh, and I was just like, oh my God.
You did yelling like that.
I was like, he was yelling at his, he was like, I hate you, when she was trying to wrap him up in the thing. I said,
he was suffocating.
And I get that, but also I'm trying to save our lives. And she didn't explain that clearly. And I get that, but he's eight. But
he's fine.
But still, girl, what the fuck had 17. And suspense, exclamation point, had 8.
I realized that this was one of those suspense, like, psychological thrillers. I thought that this was a scary movie, so I was bracing the whole time for something scary to happen. And then it was, like, scaring me in other ways. And I realized, scary is happening. Like,
look, it's very discomforting. And I was just like, okay. Why? And you know, this is a remake, so we got to put the original on the list, too.
Is it?
This is a 2003 original that they have.
I did not know that.
Yes. Okay. I'm excited to see. What are your take marks?
Because, you know, we have the remakes, so we'll have to put the originals, like the Vampire Diaries.
Right.
Okay, so my Y question mark OMG has 10. A dog with the shock face has 14. Oh, the Small Joys has 12. Girl, Kill Him has 3. And Let's Go with the multiple exclamation marks has 8.
Yeah, I literally had a little note in there. I was like, girl, please stab him in the neck. Like, what are we doing?
And then realized, like, it wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work. I was just, I feel for her.
Okay. So you gave it a 7. I gave it an 8, which makes it a 7.5 out of 10. We like those numbers. I think we are on point. IMDb, like I said, gave it an 8.1 out of 10, and Rotten Tomatoes had a 93% for the critics, ranking.
Okay.
I think that that's pretty good. This movie I was not prepared. We should put
it at all.
We might have to put a trigger warning on this, but it came out 2015. Like, if you don't know what it is, if you don't know it by now, then listen to this, and then you don't have to be as traumatized as we were.
Yeah, because that was going in just not knowing anything, which we probably should stop doing, but I like the little surprise. Look.
Listen, and we don't even do the synopsis anymore because we just hop into it, which...
All right, we expect you guys to also...
And also, because of the way that we're changing, we had to make the transition from doing recap to review. The synopsis, we can include it back again. We could, but let's see what the synopsis is for this one. Do 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 do. IMDb. Oh my God, the scene when he was trying to open his eyes and like see stuff. Oh, that was beautifully shot. A little boy is held captive in a room with his mother since birth, so he has never known the world outside. That is not enough to tell you what this would be about.
Because that could, it doesn't prepare you for the trauma of like what actually happened. And the way he wanted to go back to the room, like I get it, but also babe, mom's traumatized. Like, please, no.
I literally was like, should they build a room that's like the room? Should they put a shed in the back? Like, no, what do you do?
When I tell you, I was terrified when they went back because I thought they were going to close the door and be locked in there. I was like, oh my God, we started over from the beginning.
The fact that Officer Parker is the one who took them back to the location and the room looked completely different. Jack was like, is this room? Like,
it's shrunk.
It's a crime scene. He's seen number one, it's a crime scene. All of his stuff that was familiar to him is gone. He has seen the world, so it is smaller now. And he's like, it can't be this. And then he was like, I had never seen this from this perspective. The door is open. I'd never seen it that way. And even his escape, he was wrapped up in the carpet, so he didn't see the door open. And as much as like he just wanted to go back, he did not want to stay there. He needed to say goodbye to that part of himself.
Which I like, but I was just like, God damn, your grandmother couldn't take you? Like, I don't know what I would have done in that situation, honestly. So props to Bree, props to Joy.
He asked Ma to come and like, and she took him back. And then he said, Ma, you say bye to the room too. And she mouthed it because she needed to have that disconnect from herself too. Because the way that I was like, oh, do you build a shed in the back that's just like that? You want to live with your trauma, Stockholm? No, you don't. You break from it. And she didn't know she needed to break from it until he cut off his hair and gave her his strong.
That was cute. I really liked him with long hair, though. I'm not going to lie. It was like, oh, he looks so cute.
Biblical. So, yeah, it was real cute.
Oh, my God, it was. Oh, my God.
Samson's.
Yes, that was so very biblical. How would you know that if, you know what?
Because they had to pray. And they weren't necessarily, they were praying, they were talking about heaven, but also about aliens. She said, I want you to be well-rounded.
Yeah, that was
17. She didn't know what she believed yet.
Yeah, and I imagine the next 7 years, you really don't get a chance to figure that out.
If you only get, and you don't get like, she had like PBS, like she had basic ass cable. Because this is 2015 before Trump took PBS and made it not public broadcast.
Right. So, bless that woman.
Whew. So yeah, that's the episode 64. We are still in an A24 season, but we said we were not saying what the next one was, right? Because A24 has a pretty decent list, but like y'all know what it is when we tell you what it is.
Right. So stay tuned and we'll see you next time. Thank you for tuning in.
And love you and thank you for the support.
Tiny hearts, big hearts. Bye.
Bye.